Okay, we're starting at the top of Mem Daled Amud Aleph. So here it says, Chata Yisrael. Hashem declares to Yoshua and says, the Yisrael was Chote. We know that that's not the case. I mean, there was only one individual who was Chote here. It was Achan, who took from the Cherim. Nevertheless, it says, Chata Yisrael. So Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zabdo, so what's the drasha Chata Yisrael? Afu Pisha Chata Yisrael Hu. Right, even though Achan had violated the Cherim, nevertheless, he still retains his status as a Jew, as Yisrael. But just because of that, he didn't lose his status. So you have a myrtle that's amongst the thorns, right? Asa Shmei, it's still called an Asa, but also Karigayim, people call it an Asa. I mean, that it doesn't, just because a person or something is amongst what is wrong or mixed with what is bad, doesn't mean that it loses its shame. So to over here, Achan, even though he took actions that were inappropriate, nevertheless, in the core, in the right, his basic form, he's still Yisrael, he's still a Jew, and the basic principle that obviously a person cannot renounce their Judaism. They might be able to lose certain statuses or certain privileges as that are required for the Shomer Shabbos or someone who is Ovid Avodah Zarah loses Ne'amanut in certain areas, but they're still Yisrael, I mean that they don't lose their status that they're a Jew. Right, so Mishuma, again, they lose certain privileges, but they're still Yisrael. Right, the Rebbe Soloveitchik has a big chiddush that there are two britot, that one brit, there's a brit of brit ben Abtarim, and then there's the brit of Arvot Moav, and that you can violate one of them and lose the status of a Shomer Shabbos Jew, a Jew that's Ne'aman, but you can't lose the status of a Yisrael. That's it. Right, in general we are. Yeah, I mean, they could. I don't know, but those are more minhagim rather than right absolute halacha that he can't be buried, that we don't bury them. Right. Korilei v'gam avruet biti asher tziviti otam. Now, I don't know, here they don't quote it, but the psukim in Yoshua say v'gam, all of them say v' with a vav. V'gam lachu min acherim, v'gam ganvu, v'gam kichashu, v'gam samu b'chlehem. So Hashem says, this is, you know, we're wrong. They violated my brit, my covenant, right, that I commanded them. They took from the cherim, they stole, kichashu, they also denied it, and they put it into their personal belongings. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Bar Misafrata, Lamed Sha'avar Achan, Al Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Says that he violated the all Chamshei Chumshei Torah, Shnemar Chamisha Gam. The word Gam appears 5 times in the Pasuk, so each gam is an inclusion of an additional violation of the Torah. He also wanted to, in effect, he rejected the covenant of Brit Milah, and how do we know that? Because, Ktiv Hocha Vagam Avru Et Briti, that they violated my covenant. What's the covenant? What's Briti? V'chtivatam Et Briti Efar. Right, by Abraham it says, that someone who does not get a brit milah is briti afar. He's violated my covenant. So my covenant, where it says, must be referring to the covenant of the brit milah. And so how do you violate the covenant of the brit milah? Either you don't have a brit milah, or if you do have one, right, you moshech orlato, you pull the orla back over. Pshito, where it says that, of course. What else would you have thought it is? That's exactly what it sounds like. It's a madu tema, be mitzvah gufet opokar. Right? I would have thought that in the mitzvah itself, he wasn't poker kamash malon. That is the case, meaning that he didn't go so far as to right, reject the mitzvah or reject the brit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But nevertheless, that's what Kamash Balan, the Pasuk teaches us, that he did go that far. It wasn't enough.
B'chia. If you say that, if you say Chamisha Chom Shei Torah, you ask yourself, what could the brit, what was he mefer in Sefer Bereshit?
Here you have, there's a milah, very good.
That's actually what he says here, he says, we already
know. So if you know that you violated all Chamashei Chumshei Torah, what do I need another pasuk to teach me that he violated the Brit Milah?
Right. So that's it. No, he physically did that, but who said he philosophically?
Right. That who says that he was also Gama Kofir?
Right.
So that here it says no, that he rejected the mitzvah entirely. Priyasan Nevalab Yisrael. That's a continuation there of the pasuk that such a awful thing was done in Klal Yisrael. Amri Abba Barzavdo Malamed Shibal Achan Ne'ara Mirurasa. Right, that he had relations with a woman who was engaged. By the Naram Murasa, they're put to death. because they did such a horrible thing in Klal Yisrael. So again, the Gemara says Pshita, right? So either Pshita, that what else would you learn from Nivala, or Pshita, like you were suggesting, that if you already violated the Chamisha Achum Shei Torah, then that's also in the Chamisha Achum Shei Torah, right? So why not? It's in the, it's already included in the original. So the Gemara says again, again, we would think that he didn't go this far, that he did go this far, but over here, the going this far is not about simply violation of the mitzvah, but here, this is a mitzvah that has implications, rala shamayim and rala briyot. That's one thing if he wants to be a kofer, he wants to reject, right, the dominion of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he wants to reject mitzvot that are ben adam l'makom. Over here, he's also affecting other people. Right, he's making this woman asura to Bala. He's affecting the mishpachot that are involved here, and that it's not just the negative between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this also affects the other individuals that are there. Gemara says, Ravina Amar, Dinei Kenara Amurasa. No, that is, Din was like a Nara Amurasa. Not that he actually was boiled Nara Amurasa, but he actually got the Din of a Nara Amurasa, the Beskila, that he got Skila. So Amar Lei Reish Galutu Darvun Aktiv, it says, Vayikach Yoshua Tachan Ben Zerach, Vet a kesef, vet a deret, vet a shona zahav, vet banav, vet benotah, vet shero, vet chamaro, vet zono, vet olo, vet kol shelo. Shua takes him, all of what he stole from the cherem, his children, and then all his possessions, he takes them. Imimchuchata banav u benotah machatu. Says, if he sinned, who says his children had sinned? Why are his children culpable here if he was the one who sinned? So now, it could be interesting, because the Gemara before, let's go into Rabbi Yirmiyah, says, why was Bnei Yisrael punished for the fact that Achan took from the Cherem? Because it was one of the Nistarot. According to Rabbi Yirmiyah, you don't get punished for Nistarot. So why were they punished? Because the first line in the Amud today is, Davayodi Be'ishto Vanov. That his wife and his children knew about it. So according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, right, it shouldn't be such a question, why his children being punished? Because they knew about what he had done, and they covered up. I mean, they were complicit in the crime. Because they knew, they did not object, they did not stop him. And if they're complicit in the crime, that's why they're culpable. So maybe the question here is only according to the one who says that we are culpable, Bnei Yisrael are culpable for Nistarot, and that it wasn't that his children knew about it. And then according to that individual, why is it that Banav Ubnotav should be punished over here? So it says over here, Imhu Chata Ko Yisrael Machatu. He said, wait a minute, if you want to take this logic to its extent, you know, to extend it to its end, who says, what are you worried about his children and his family? Who says, all of Klal Yisrael chatag dichtiv, he says, v'chol Yisrael imo, that when Yeshua takes Achan and all his possessions, and he takes them, taking him out to kill him, in the Pasuk it says, v'chol Yisrael imo, and all of Klal Yisrael with him. What do you mean all of Klal Yisrael with him? They're going down, they're also going to be killed along with him? No. What is it, v'chol Yisrael with him? For Elolir Dotan. That they should be witnesses, they should participate and take a lekach, and get musar from the fact that they are seeing what happens when someone violates the word of Hashem or violates the cherem of Hashem. So alchanami kedei lirdotan. So also over here, Rishu is not taking them down to execute them, the family, but rather that they should take heed to what's happening here, and they should be witnesses to what is taking place. So it says vayisrufu otam. Which is interesting now, based on the Gemara's Limud, by Yisrael Tam, sounds like the punishment was for him and his family. But you have to say now, is Yisrael Tam is him and his possessions, right? Now, that's why you have the plural form. By Yisrael Tam ba'esh, by Yisklu Otam ba'vanim. They burn him up at the stake, and then they also stoned him. Bitarte, what do you need two punishments for? I mean, he can't die twice. So that's what I was just saying, that the Otam can't be, that if according to the Gemara, Otam, the simple shot of Otam is him and his family. But here you have to say him and his possessions is the Otam. Oh, so that's what Gemara is asking. What do you need two for? How do you kill twice?
No, it's a different question I'm asking.
I understand your question. The Gemara is going to answer your question by answering the question that I'm asking, which is, so I'm Ravina, Aroi the Sreifa, the Sreifa, Aroi the Skila, the Skila. That which was roi for sreifa means inanimate objects was burnt. Aroi l'skila, animate objects, meaning the humans and the animals, they got skila. So it was a division of death penalties. I mean, the death penalty that applied, or the destruction that is for humans, is skila, putting them to death, as opposed to the inanimate objects, or the destruction is sreifa. That, I think, answers both questions. The otamas is possessions, and then possessions you divide up, right? Obviously, skila doesn't apply to inanimate objects. So that's what the Gemara says here. So this is Achan admitting what he saw. One time Shkalim Kesef, I saw in the Shlal what he took. He took it a Deret Shinar, which is some sort of Babylonian garment, beautiful Babylonian garment. One time Shkalim Kesef, 200 silver coins. So what is this a Deret Shinar? Rav Amar Itzkala de Milto. It's a jacket made out of very, very fine wool. Right, some very fine wool. The way that the Rashi describes it, it's semer naki ben yomo. Right, it's semer taken off of a sheep that is a day old. I mean, it's a lamb that they took it off of. But it's a beautiful, very soft and clean wool. So it's a beautiful wool jacket. Shmuel Amar, sarvala de tzrifa. Shmuel seems to have some sort of a belt that is a colorful belt that was made. Both of these, I guess, beautiful garments that they were associated with Bavel, and therefore when they say Deret Shinar, it's seen that it's referencing these one of these garments. So then it says Yoshua takes the items that Achan had taken from the Shlal, Ve'yatzikum lifnei Hashem, and he places them, not even places them, like he plants them in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rav Nachman, Ba v'chavtam lifnei Hamakom, goes and plops them down, slams them down before a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and says Amar lefanav Ribon Shalom Eleilu Tiareg Ruba Shel Sanhedrin. Because of this, you killed a Rov of Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin is 71. A Rov of Sanhedrin is 36. And the Pasuk says, Dichtiv, in the first battle of Ai, that they defeated, Bnei Israel lost a number, had a number of casualties in the first battle. And that was, Vayakum mehem anshei Ai, shloshim b'shisha aish, 36 people. So here you go, it's Rov of Sanhedrin. Betanya, shloshim b'shisha mamash, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, literally, 36 people were lost in the battle. So Amar Rav Nechemia, Chishloshim Shishahayu, there wasn't 36 people lost. Lolo Nemar, Ela Ki, there's a Kaf Adimyom. Kishloshim Shishahayish, it doesn't end at 36, it says like 36 ish. And who is that? Ela Ze Yair Ben Menashe, Shishakul Kenegad Rubashel Sanhedrin. That was Yair Ben Menashe was lost, which is, he's equal to the Rove of the Sanhedrin. And therefore it was equivalent, someone who was equivalent to 36 people, but not literally 36 people are lost. It's interesting only that Yair Ben Menashe is the one who is lost here in the battle, because Yair Ben Menashe took his property where? Yair ben Menashe took his property, me Averly Yarden. Right, Chavot Yair, he's up in the Bashan, and up towards the Golan. That's where Yair ben Menashe settled, and yet he was the one killed in the battle in Eretz Yisrael, based on the promise that Rabbi Bnei Gad, Rabbi Ruvain, Chatzi Shevi Menashe said that they will Chalutzim Lifnei Hatzava. They'll be the leaders, the front lines in the battle, and here he was in the front line, and he got killed in the battle, according to this, with Ai. Alright, so now, Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, Mai Dechtiv, what does it say? Tachanunim Yedaber Rash. The poor person gives supplication for Hashem. V'ashir Yane Azot. But the rich man speaks brazenly. Tachanunim Yedaber Rash Ze Moshe. That refers to Moshe. V'ashir Yane Azot Ze Yoshua. So it sounds like Moshe spoke appropriately, and Yoshua did not, or Yoshua was much more brazen in speaking. My time, what are you saying? If you say it's the pasuk that we just quoted, that he planted them before Hashem, threw them down in front of Hashem, that he placed them, he threw them down in front of Hashem, and he said, what? Because of this, some people had to die. So, atu Pinchas lo avid hachi. Pinchas did the exact same thing, right? Pinchas stood. Now, v'yifalel, right? The word or the shorish of the word pilel means asadin. Right, it's not din b'atzmo, but it's also the shorts of the word vayit halel. Sounds like he davened. But te'atzer ha-magifa, and then the magifa, the plague stopped. V'amar v'lazer vayit halel lo emar. It doesn't use the reflexive form of vayit halel, which would mean that he was davening. Ela vayif halel, right, that he uses the active form of the verb, which really doesn't, really shouldn't exist in vayit halel. It shouldn't exist, right, the active form of the verb. Melameid, sha'sa plilot imkono. That he took on Hashem, that he did, you know, took on a din with Hashem. He came and slammed them down. Here it's talking about Zimri ben Salu and Kazmi Batsur that he had killed. Throws him for Hashem, our father, Yisrael. Because of them, 24,000 people had to die. And then so Pinchas acted in a similar manner. So we don't say about Pinchas this way, so why would you say this about Yeshua? So that can't be the issue. Mehachon. Must be from Tachtiva, you are meeting Magifar by Rasir Melech. Because the Pasuk tells us 24,000 died from the plague. Vela Mehachon. Lama Hevarta Havir et Amazet Yardain. So after they lose in the battle to Ai, Yeshua and the Zekinim come before the Aron Hashem, and they render their garments, they pour ashes on their head, and they fall before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yeshua looks up and says to Hashem, why did you take us across the Yarden? Why? Because now, he says, what's going to happen? First of all, he says that their hearts, all of us melted. I mean, that's what it says there, the Psukim, the Bnei Yisrael's hearts melted. And he says, now that we lost over here, you're going to empower all the other people in Canaan to come and attack us. And they're going to feel now that we're not invincible. Till this point in time, everybody thought they were invincible. They'd heard about they heard about Yam Suf. They heard about Amalek. They heard about the Hobisha Hashem et Mea Yardain, that he dried out the Yardain. And then they killed Yericho. They were flying, meaning nobody would touch them. Now all of a sudden they lost to the eye. They become, they're no longer invincible. So now he says, we melted. Our hearts are melted. And what are you going to do? He says, why don't you just leave us on the other side of the Yardain? Why bring us over here to lose and to be killed by the Kanani? And number two is Mayim Shimcha Agado. And what's going to happen to your name, Hashem? It's going to be a huge chilul Hashem that you bring us over here and we're all going to die. So Moshe Nami Meimar Amar. Moshe made a similar comment when he came, when he first took on the mission to go take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and things get worse at first. He says, Lama Rota Lama Zeh. Says the same thing. Why are you doing bad? Why are you making the things worse? So Moshe made a similar claim. So how can you differentiate between Moshe and Yeshua? That Yeshua said something. Yeshua made a similar claim. Elamiocha. He says from here, this is the next line of the pasuk. V'lu ho'alnu v'neshev be'evar yadein. You know, what if we could have, if you had permitted, we would have just stayed on Evar Yardain. So that's the thing that was Moshe that we spoke about Zut. Right, it's one thing to say to Hashem, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you making this bad? But another thing to say, look, if you'd let us, we would just stayed on the other side of the Yardain. What do you mean stayed on the other side of the Yardain? They're here to take over Eretz Canaan, to conquer and to have Eretz HaKadosha that he promised the Avot. So now it says, Vayom Hashem al Yeshua kumlach. Get up, Yeshua. Dorish Rabbi Shilam al Yerkosh Bochu, Shalcha, Kashe, Mishalahem. You're worse than them. Ani amarti v'haya b'avrachem et ergein takimu. Right? I said that when you cross the Yarden, you should do the ceremony of Harguzim and Vahareval. V'atem richaktem samach mil. And you went 60 mil before you did the ceremony. Right, so, Batar Nafak, I'll come back and explain this in a second. Batar Nafak, after he went out, Okim Rav Amora Ale. Rav got his Amora, right, his microphone out there that came out, and he said, I don't like what he said. I got to be Doresh the other way. V'darash kasher tzivah Hashem et Moshe avdo, kein tzivah Moshe to Yeshua, v'chein asa Yeshua. Whatever Hashem commanded Moshe to do, Yeshua did, right? Or he commanded Yeshua to do, and Yeshua did it. Lo esir davar mikol asher tzivah Hashem et Moshe. He did nothing, right? That Moshe was commanded by Hashem, he left nothing out. Well, if Neth left nothing out, who was the one who was commanded to take it and do the bracha and the klala and hargizim and harival? That was commanded to Moshe. Moshe commands it to Yeshua and Yeshua does it. So how can you say that Yeshua did something wrong in hargizim and harival? Im kei ma tamud omar kumlach. Right? So what does it say that it means kumlach over here? Amalei atagaram telehem. Yeshua, it's your fault that there's a problem here. This is what he said to him. Malka here with the mapike, right, the melech shela. And you're going to do too. Now get up now. You'll take care. You'll do the ay like you did to Yericho. What does that mean that you're going to do the ay? And ay, they were permitted to take from the shlal. Right, they were permitted to take from the shlal. So he says that you should have done like that, like you did in Yericho. It's your fault that you answered the shlal. And there was no reason that you had to be makdish the shlal l'shamayim. Had you not made that restriction, then there would never have been a problem with Achan. The fact that you made the restriction caused the problem. He says, and Hashem, you see that from the fact that Hashem commands him to do to the eye like he did to Yericho. And I, we know that there is no command over there to not take from the shlal. So it's your fault. Right? So why did you do this? Why did you put on this extra chayrim in Yericho? Right now, going back to the Tosfos asks the obvious question here, what do you mean? There's a command in the Torah to go to Har Gerizim and Har Eival and to perform a ceremony. It's explicit in the Torah that you must go to Har Gerizim and Har Eival and do a ceremony, right, of the bracha and the klala. So what is here they're criticizing Yeshua that he went 60 mil to go to Har Gerizim and Har Eival. Well, you know, where is Har Gerizim and Har Eival? At least today we believe Har Gerizim and Har Eival is in where? In the Ezor of Shechem, right? In the Ezor of Shechem, it's nowhere near the Yarden. It is 60 mil from the Yarden. It's nowhere near there. So what do you expect Yeshua to do? But it turns out it's actually a machlokas in the Gemara in Sotah, and that's what Tosfos says. Tosfos says here that this machlokas is premised on the same machlokas that we have in Sotah. There are actually three opinions in the Gemara in Sotah. The two main opinions are, one is that Har Gezim and Har Eival, right? Aloheim Ameiver LeYarden, they're on the other side of the Yarden. Rachok Mi'a Yarden, they're far away from the Yarden. Right, they're near Shechem, even though Shechem is never explicitly mentioned in the Pasuk, but they give demarcations that seem to indicate that it's around Shechem, and it was 60 mil. That's one opinion of the Gemara in Sotah. The other opinion of the Gemara in Sotah is, Halohema Me'evar Yarden means they're right across the Yarden. They're immediately on the other side of the Yarden. Well, if they're immediately on the other side of the Yarden, what's Har Gezim and Har Eival? So there are two opinions in the Gemara there. One of them is that the Shnei Gav Shushiyot, just make two piles of dirt and call one of them Har Gezim and one of them Har Eival. Right, that's one possibility, or that there was another Har Gezim and Har Eival that were closer to the Yarden. One of those two possibilities. The Gemara in Sotah brings those both. So that's what Tosfos says, the machlokas here about whether he did right or wrong. Rav argues that Yoshua did the right thing. Well, Rav is holding like the opinion in Sotah that Har Gezim and Har Eival are near Shechem. So that's why he said he did the right thing. The other opinion here, who says that the problem that Yeshua says, that Rav Shila, who says that you made a mistake by going all the way to Har Gezim and Har Eival near Shechem, right? He holds like the opinion in the Gemara in Sotah that they should have done it right as they crossed over, right, the Yarden, right there, and you went all the way to Har Gezim and Har Eival by Shechem. What are you doing over there? Okay, you shouldn't have been over there. So the fact is that he did something wrong, and that's why Rav Shila criticizes. Says Yeshua is criticized by Kodesh Baruch of Kumlach. Get up. And Rav has to say that the criticism of Yeshua is not about Har Gezim and Har Eival, but rather about the Cherem, being Oser the Cherem by Yericho. That was the problem. Now you should know that there's an issue just in the Navi itself, in Yeshua, because Yeshua only ends up in Har Gezim and Har Eival after the battle in Yericho, after the battle of Ai. They're supposed to go immediately when they cross over the Yarden, they're supposed to go to Har Gezim and Har Eival and perform the ceremony. Right? And the Gemara in Sotah, there are opinions that argue that that's what they did. But in the Navi itself, in Yoshua, the ceremony of Har Gezim and Har Eival only takes place after the Battle of Noah. It only takes place in the Perek Yud, Perek Yud Aleph, after they've already conquered the Ai. So just be aware that that's some of the issue that the Gemara in Sotah is dealing with, is when did Yoshua do it? Right? How far away is it? And why do you need to go through Yericho and Ai? But I mean, if it's far away, you understand, how do you get to Har Gezim and Har Eival? You've got to go up the Bik'ah, Derech HaBikah, take the left turn into, right, there's a huge valley that takes you through, I think that there's actually a road there today, you can get off Derech HaBikah and head into the Shomron, but there's a valley that cuts across, there's a main valley that cuts across towards Shechem from Derech HaBikah. But the only way you can get up Derech HaBikah is to conquer first Yericho, and then Ai, because that's the way that you're going off to, right, up north, to then and cut to the west. So that makes sense that they had to battle first before they went there. Although again, there are opinions in the Gemara that it's out of order, and they went there the first day. It only mentions it later in Sefer Yoshua. All right, now the Gemara continues with the, again, here it's not exactly our psukim, it's a little bit beforehand, which is the story here. This is by Yericho, when they're sieging on the city of Yericho. It says, Vahi biyot Yoshua b'Yericho v'yisayinav v'yar. Yoshua looks up and he sees the, what turns out to be a Malach Hashem, right, starts by Hashem. So he asks him, Alanu ata, right, or then letzareinu, are you belong to us, are you part of our group, or the other, you know, you're the enemy? Obviously, right, the guy's going to say, you expect him to tell the truth here, right? So he says, lo, amar lo, ki ani tzvar tzvar Hashem, ata bati. He says, no, I'm part of the army of Hashem, and I came right now. But he pulled Yeshua panav, Yeshua falls on his face, and he bows down to him. How did he do such a thing? Person can't greet his friend at night. You're worried that he's maybe it's a shade, and you bang down to a shade, right? And that's one. And number two is Rashi claims also here that you can't give shalom, which is the name of Hashem. You can't present the name of Hashem to a shade. That would be inappropriate. It's giving shalom to a shade. Now obviously you have to suggest over here, and Tosfos mentions it over here, that's dafka b'sadot to b'chramim or b'harim. These are definitely in isolated places. If you're walking in isolated places and then someone comes up to you, you don't recognize, then you can't give them shalom, you can't bow down to them because of the danger of being a shade. In the city, we don't say that. But a place where there's no shchichei shadim, where there's not a lot of shadim, there you can say shalom to your friend and you don't have to just, you know, if you think you recognize him, you don't have to worry about that. So the shadim are only an issue when you're out in the fields. If they're shadim are a problem for you at all, they're only going to be a problem out in the fields. So Gemara says, "Shani otam kamalei ani tzaris v'Hashem atabati," because he says, "I'm a part of the army of Hashem." So Yeshua must feel much more comfortable now. But so v'delma shmishakrei, maybe he's lying to him. Maybe what? So he tells him he's on the side of Hashem. How do you know that he's not telling the truth? How do you know he's telling the truth? Gemiri, the lo mafki shem shemayim levatala. Even the shadim don't go that far. They're not going to use the shem shemayim levatala. And therefore, because he said, I'm Tsar Tzva Hashem, and he used the shem Hashem, we know that he's telling the truth, that he's really part of the Tsar Tzva Hashem.
The opinion that he sinned over here?
I don't know if he sinned, necessarily. I mean, he's criticizing for the decision he made. I don't know if it's a chet necessarily. He says, but you caused the problem. You were the one who caused the problem. He didn't do something that was inherently wrong. Saying that not to take her in the cherim is not something that's inherently wrong. It just caused, because of what he did, it caused the others to have a problem with it. I think Hashem's saying that you brought it upon yourself, but not that, I don't think it's inherently that's a chet. I think if you want, I mean, I would have looked at it in that light. All right, so now he says, so the Tzar Tzva Hashem, the Malach says to Memesh, Bitaltum Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im. Yesterday, you guys did not do the Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im, because while they're sieging on the city of Yericho, they're going around the city of Yericho, and since they're in battle, they didn't do the Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im. Says, V'achshav, and now, Bitaltum Talmud Torah. Now at night, you're also being Mevatel Talmud Torah. So he says, Oh, Ismahim Batel. What are you here to take retribution for? Why are you here? I'm here now. So what is that? I'm here now because you are Mevatel Talmud Torah. So he says, Noach, he says, fine, that you didn't do the Talmud Shemar Abayim because you're in siege on the city. But that's a daytime activity. Laying siege to the city and you have to be there with the army, that's a daytime activity. But at night, where they're encamped, and the rest of the Machaneh is the Gilgal, you should go back to the Machaneh and be learning Torah at night. Why are you staying with the troops of the siege during the night? They don't need leadership at night, right? They're going to sleep there. They're just going to be around the city. They need you during the daytime for the battle, but at night they're not going to, and in their day, remember that there was no such thing as battle at night. They didn't fight at night. They didn't have night scopes. They didn't have artificial lighting. All battles were done during the day, and that's obvious from later on in Yoshua when he's fighting, right, the Amalekim, and he's chasing them down, and he says, Shemesh begivon dom, v'yerech v'amalon. Why does he have to stop the sun from setting? It's because the battle's over. Once the night comes, right, it's over. The battle's over. So here, they don't fight at night. They're not going to fight at night. And you don't need to be there. You can be learning Torah. Because why are you being Mevatel Torah? So Miyad, it says right away. So now this is from Yeshua Chet. This is by the battle, the second battle of the Ai. And that's why it's obviously brought here. The second battle of the Ai, it says, Vayilin Yeshua B'laylohu B'tocha Emek. I just say that this pasuk doesn't exist. The pasuk in Yeshua, I'm just surprised nobody notes it here, but the pasuk doesn't exist. The pasuk says, Vayilin Yeshua B'laylohu B'tocha Am. That he slept amongst the Am. There is a separate pasuk later on. This is in pasuk Tet. In pasuk Yugimel it says, "Vayelech Yeshua v'laylahu betocha emek," in the emek. So they took two psukim, one that says Am, and that says Vayelen, and they put the emek into the pasuk. But then the Gemara dashes, "V'amar Rabbi Yochanan amed shalan ba'umkash alacha," that he rested, he went ba'umkash alacha. So clearly connecting the two psukim, which is a Yelen Yeshua v'laylahu betocha Am. He stayed amongst the people, and then later on the puzzle says, Vayelech Yeshua v'laylahu betocha emek. So obviously he's in the emek, where he went to be Vayelen in Am. So what does it mean that he's rested with the Am in the emek? He says, he's v'om kosh alacha. That he went to learn Torah. And that was what prevented. Now the fact is that this criticism of Yeshua and the Malach came to him before the battle of Yericho. And this is when they're still laying siege to Yericho. And now the Gemara is bringing psukim from by the Ai. Right, that it's that he went that night, it was Valim Tocham, that he was learning Torah. So the Gemara sees some sort of connection between the fact that they were Mevatel Torah by Yericho, or that when they were doing the siege, that caused the loss by the Ai, and then only later on, when he comes to rectify, where they go to the second battle of the Ai, that Yeshua that night made sure to be learning Torah before they went into battle. Even though the Psukim, the way the Navi's laid out, that doesn't seem Pshat in the Navi, because the battles are significantly separated, and it seems to be that the Malach is talking to him before even the battle of Yericho. So they should have lost in Yericho, forget about in the Ai. Alright, now, Amar Shmor Bar Onia Mishmei Derav, Gadol Talmud Torah Yoter Me'akrabat HaTamidim. You see from here that learning of Torah is greater than Akrabat HaTamidim. Shnei Amar HaTabati. He says they did two things wrong. One was that they were not Makriv HaTamid, the other one was that they didn't learn Torah, and he says, what are you coming about? He says, I'm worried about the Bittul Torah, not about the Bittul Karban Tamid. Obviously, you could argue that it's not a measurement of erech, of value, but it was about the timing. The Karban Tamid is brought during the day, and the Torah can be learned during the day and during the night. During the day, they were busy with the siege, so obviously, it's a sikva mitzvah, potom in a mitzvah. So that he should have been potter from, that's why he's potter from Tamid Shalabayim at night. He was not osik mitzvah, he should have been osik b'torah. But here, Shmuel Bar Onia, Mishmei Derab, takes it a step further and says, no, that they both were possible to be done, and the fact that they weren't done shows you that if he's only criticizing him for the lack of Talmud Torah, that Talmud Torah takes precedence, or is greater than Hakrovat HaTamidim. Semerle Abaye L'Rav Dimi, Haikra B'Marova Mai Mukumitle. This Pasuk, in Eretz Yisrael, what do they do with this Pasuk? Al Tetzei L'Rif Maher. Don't go out to quarrel so fast. Don't get tangled in a disagreement so fast. Pen mata sebachrita. Unless you really know what the outcome is going to be. I mean that if you don't know what the outcome is going to be, why dig yourself in? Because be'achlim otchareyacha. Because in the end, your friend might embarrass you. I mean that he might be found correct, or he might have the upper hand in this quarrel. And if that's the case, you're going to end up walking away embarrassed. So you better know what the end game is. You better know what's going to be in the final before you start picking a fight with someone. Right? That's one. So he says, Rivcha rivet reacha. You should, right, take up your issues with your friend. V'soda chera tagal. But don't bring another's secrets into this battle. If you have something, if you have an issue with an individual, take up the issue with the individual and only speak about them and discuss with them what's going on. You shouldn't bring in other people or other people's secrets into this fight or into this quarrel. So what do you do with this pasuk? So he says, "V'shasha amar lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu liYechezkel." Time that Hakadosh Baruch Hu says to Yechezkel, again, this pasuk doesn't exist. He says, "Lechem or lehem leYisrael." That doesn't exist. Lechem or lehem leYisrael. Over there, Hashem does mitzvah. Yechezkel does speak to Israel. But it says, "Avich haemori v'imei chitit." In the statement that he says, "Go tell Bnei Israel," there's actually a mashal over there about a young girl that is compared to Klal Israel. And in describing that young girl, it says, "Avich haemori v'imei chitit." Your father is an emori, and your mother is a chitit. Right? It's the pasuk says, "Avich haemori v'imei chitit." I mean, that's what the pasuk says, because it's talking about a girl over there, and the pasuk in Yechezkel, it's Tetzayin, pasuk Gimel, in Yechezkel. Amro ruach piskonit, so this ruach piskonit, this wind of piskonit, lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, came before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now, who this ruach piskonit is unclear. Rashi claims that it's the Malach Gabriel, that comes here, came before Hashem, and says, Ribono Shalom, im yovo Avraham v'Sarah v'yamdu lefanecha, if Avraham and Sarah come before you, atah omer lehem, would you say that to their faces? Would you say, your father is a emori, and your mother is a chitit? I mean, that's what he's referring to. He's referring to back to their ancestors, like Terach, Avi Avraham, who are, right, not, are not from the Jewish lineage, because obviously it didn't start yet. They're not from the lineage of Abraham. So he says, you're making fun of Bnei Israel. You're saying something derogatory about Bnei Israel. Would you say that to Abraham himself? Why are you bringing in Abraham's parents into the story about Bnei Israel? That's what Gabriel says. If they came before you, atal merlem amachlim otam, rivcha riv et reyacha. If you have something, an issue with Klal Yisrael, take it up with them. Don't bring up issues with Abraham. Don't bring up something that's embarrassing to Abraham. That has nothing to do with what the situation at hand. So obviously the Gemara says, since when does Gabriel have such permission to go and question Hashem like that? I mean, he's speaking in a very strong manner, neged Hashem. Does he have such permission? That is the case. Why? He has three names. Again, according to Rashi, this is Gabriel. Piskon, Itmon, Sigron. Here the changes the girsa over here to read. I would read Piskonit, the same way we had Piskonit before. So Piskonit, Itmonit, and Sigronit, something like that. So Piskon, Shiposek Dvarim Kaufei Malo. Why is he called Piskon? Because he says things as they are before Kodesh Baruch Hu. He doesn't hold back. Right, that he says whatever he needs to say. Itmon, Shotem Ovenotem Shel Yisrael. That he closes up, he covers up, or he somehow blocks the sins of Klal Yisrael, that he protects Klal Yisrael. Sigron, Kemin Shesoger, Shuben Poteach. Once he is led the defense, Rabbi Gabriel leads the defense, if he is rejected, nobody else speaks up. Because he's the one who has the most ability to overturn what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. So once he has spoken, none of the other malachim dare to stand up. There's nothing to talk about. It's over already. Game over. So here, from here, we see that it was Gabriel who stood up. And he stood up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, how could you say, Avich Emori, Yimei Chaitit, which is derogatory towards Avraham and Sarah, when you have an issue with Klal Yisrael? It's only interesting that Avram's father was clearly not an Emori. I don't know, his mother could have been a Chitit, but his father clearly was not an Emori because he comes from shame. Terach is a descendant of shame, and Emori are descendants of Ham. So they were two different families. So, like the Marsha and others explain here, that it wasn't literally that Avich Emori, but rather they took on the ways of the Emori. They worshipped the Avodah Zarah. They acted similar to the way of the people of Canaan. So it's not they were not necessarily these actual physical fathers or ancestors, but rather the spiritual ancestors of Terach were these people of Emori and the Canaani that in Cham, those that worshipped the Avodah Zarah, because they took on that same pathway. Right now, the Gemara says, "Hayarucha shuach lo bitzar." So here, it's one of Eov's friends sent to him. Listen, do you think your wealth will take care of you? Your shirut, your wealth will avail you in the bad times. It says lo bitzar, not in times of adversity. That won't help you out. Your wealth, your money, doesn't help you out in times of adversity. So Amar Rav Elazar, lo olam yakdim adam tefilah litzara. Person should also always daven before the bad stuff comes. Make sure you have the tefillah in place because that protects you. So the way the Gemara is dashing here is Yaroch Shuach Lo Bitzar. Right? So he says you should lay it forth, Yaroch, lay out. Shuach. Shuach here the Gemara is using as the word Shuach to mean to speak or speech. Shuach. That it means to supplicate. So therefore he says supplicate before Hashem. Lo Bitzar means when there is no pain, when there is no tzar. And then make sure that you daven before there is any problem that comes up. So what is that? How do we know that? Because he says, "Shil malay higdim Abraham tefillah l'tzara." Had it not been for the fact that Abraham davened before the bad happened, ben beitel ben ai, lo nishtar mishay sel sarid upalit. There would be nobody, Bnei Yisrael would be defeated, but a complete defeat over here. I mean that we know that Avram davens or puts up a mizbech ben Beit El of Ena'ai, which Rashi and Chumash tells us that he was davening on the Atid, that his children were going to battle over here at the Ai. He davened for them ahead of time. So the fact that Avram davened on behalf of Klal Yisrael and they were going to later on fight in this battle, that's what protected him when they lost in that battle. They only lost 36 people in the battle because of Avram's tefillah. Had it not been for Avram's tefillah, they would have been, the defeat would have been much more resounding, right, or complete. So Rish Lakish Amar, Kol Ametz Atzmo B'Tfilah Milamata Ein Lo Tzarim Milamala. Someone whoever makes sure to daven carefully and puts a lot of effort into his tefillah down below, he's protected above, meaning that they don't cause him problems up in the heavens. If you daven properly down here, if you take care of things ahead of time over here, then in the Shemayim they also take care of you. They don't cause you problems in the Shemayim. Now Rabbi Yochanan's statement is much more interesting, much more difficult. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Lami Vakesh Adam Rachamim. Person should always ask for mercy. That everybody should help him in his efforts. What does that mean? Everybody should help him in his efforts. That's Rashi. It's very interesting. Rashi says that the malachim should help him in order to supplicate before Hashem. They shouldn't have people that are against him above. Right, but there are prosecutors towards him above. In battle, aroch shuach. If you come to lay out your tefillah, kazot terecheu, do it this way. Lo bitzar, do it in a way shelo yelach l'tzarim, that you have nobody who's against you. Everybody be in your favor. Everybody act in your favor. So what is Rashi? Rashi suggesting over here? It's very interesting. That Rabbi Yochanan says you should daven. You should daven. Sounds like to the malachim. Or implore the malachim to help you in davening towards Hashem. That you should gather or corral the malachim on your behalf to go and supplicate before Kodesh Baruch Hu, so there'll be nobody up there that comes to reject your tefillah. Which is very interesting in general that we have, especially the briskers and the grah, were very objected heavily to davening to malachim. But we don't pray to angels. We pray to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And so we don't say tefillot that, and they used to skip. We do skip the tefillos in Gaman Yoshana Yom Kippur and Gaman Slichot, right? That are focused on praying to the malachim. They only do tefillot. We daven to Hashem. We can ask the malachim can be enjoined in that, and we can ask them, but we don't daven to malachim. Over here from Rashi, it sounds like somewhat to the tzad that we're actually asking, we're beseeching the malachim to help us over here. So you could differentiate. I'm saying in Rashi, you could differentiate that here you're not diving towards them, but just asking them for help in order to dive into Hashem. That you're corralling them to help you out, not that you're literally diving to them, although that's a very fine line over here that is being laid out according to Rashi in the Pshat of Rabbi Yochanan. All right. So this seems to be the Derech HaKodesh here in the Masechet Sanhedrin, which is that they have a Mishnah. They say a couple words about the Mishnah. They do a whole series of Agadot, and then at the end of the end of that Gemara, they come back to discuss what was in the Mishnah. So here we are, right before the next Mishnah, coming to discuss what was in the previous Mishnah. So they say that he should take before he's put to death. We say to him, be mitvadeh. You know, make a vidui before Hashem, you know, admit everything, and ask for forgiveness, slicha, that your death should be a kapara for everything that you did. So Rabbanan, minayin shekiperlo, viduav. How do you know that vidui helps you? So we know from the case of Achan and Yoshua, shenemar vayomelo Yoshua, mechartanu yakarcha Hashem ayom azeh. It says, just like you caused us to be muddied or troubled, Hashem should cause you to be troubled today. You are dirty or disgusting or troubled before Hashem today, but not the Olam Haba. In the punishment or what's going to transpire is all today, but not forever. And it says, now this is very difficult. Here's in Divrei Yamim. Divrei Yamim, it says, Uvnei Zerach, the children of Zerach are Zimri, Veitan, Veheman, Vechalkol, VeDara. There's no Darda. There it's Dara in Divrei Yamim. Kulam chamisha. They were all five children. What does it mean? My kulam chamisha. Kulam chamisha hein l'olam haba. They're all l'olam haba. So now, k'tiv Zimri v'k'tiv Achan. The Gemara is assuming here that Zimri is the father of Achan. Now, this is extremely problematic. That is because there are psukim in Yoshua. Read it. Who is Achan in Yoshua? In Yoshua, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, it says, Achan ben Karmi, ben Zavdi, ben Zerach. I mean, he's a great-grandchild of Zerach, not a child of Zerach. That's number one. So now here, the Gemara is claiming that Zimri and Achan are the same person, and that's how you know that he's Mezuman the Olam Haba, because they say Kulam Chamisha, that they're all Shleimim, and they're all the Olam Haba, because he's mentioned amongst the five children of Zerach. But he's not a child of Zerach, he is a great-grandchild of Zerach. That's one problem. The second problem is the next Pasuk in Divrei Yamim. You know what the next Pasuk is? Uvnei Karmi Achar Ocher Yisrael Asher Ma'al Bacherim. The children of Karmi is Achar Ocher Yisrael Asher Ma'al Bacherim. The one Achar who was Ocher, the one who was then dirtied up and made dirtied or troubled Bnei Yisrael when he took from the Cherim. Who's that talking about? Obviously, Achan. And it says that Achan is the son of Karmi. So then, how could he be Ubnei Zerach, right, if he's the son of Karmi in the next pasuk in Divrei Yamim? What the Gemara must be playing on is in Yeshua Zayin, Perech of Dalit, when Yeshua goes to put him to death and he's mitvadeh there, he calls him Achan ben Zerach, which is very interesting. Over there he calls him Achan ben Zerach, even though he's not the son of Zerach. He is mitkatzer, he gives a summary. You are Achan ben Zerach. He calls him Achan ben Zerach. And the Gemara must be playing on that one statement by Yeshua, even though in reality that's not who Achan is, not ben Zerach. Nevertheless, the fact that he calls him Achan ben Zerach, that's what the Gemara is playing on here, and says that he is synonymous with the Zimri that's found in the pasuk of Bnei Zerach. Because we know that he's Achan ben Karmi ben Zavdi ben Zerach. Alright, now the Gemara says, okay, so what is his real name? Alright, so, K'tiv Zimri b'K'tiv Achan. Rav Shmo, Achan Amar Achan, Shmo, V'lama Nikra Shmo Zimri, Shasa Maseh Zimri. Now, why is he called Zimri? Because he did like Zimri, which is that he did something that caused Bnei Yisrael, many of Bnei Yisrael, to die. Right, Zimri gets together with Kazi Batsur, and then they have a Megdefa that caused many deaths amongst Klal Yisrael. Achan takes from the Shlah and he causes them to lose in the battle of Ai, and people are killed because of what he did. Lamei Kershmo, right, so then that's Chadamar, right, Zimri Shmo. His real name is Zimri, but Lamei Kershmo Achan. Why is he called Achan? Shechein Abonoteim Shal Yisrael, that he caused Galgal. So he brought down the sins of Klal Yisrael on top of them, because he brought numerous sins on Klal Yisrael. And eno yodeli dvadot. If the individual doesn't know how to, and ichen avdem shel al klaisro is because achna, he's like a snake that coils itself up, rolls itself up. He wrapped up, he brought onto klaisro all these sins. So eno yodeli dvadot. If he doesn't know how to be mitvadeh, they help him along. They give him some instructions about how to be mitvadeh. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and then Rabbi Yehuda suggests that anybody wants to say, listen, I'm mitchaper for all my avonot in this death, except for this one, because I'm innocent over here. So as Rabbi Yehuda says, you can say that, and Chachamim say, no way, because what's going to happen? There, everybody's going to come along and say that. So Gemara says, well, why not? V'yinaku atzman. Let everybody say that. Why? If they want to not get kapara on the sin, and they want to say that they're innocent, present themselves as innocent, that's their choice. Let them make such a choice. Why are we objecting to them saying such a thing at on their death? It says, "Kadesh lo litzilaz al bati dinim v'al edim." Because that's going to cast aspersions on the edim and the bati dinim. Every time a person gets put to death, he's going to say, "Listen, this death is a kapara on all my sins, except for this one sin, because I didn't do it, and this bais din and this edim, they're all false." I mean, that's not what you want. That's not how you want every execution to end. So we don't want that. So Tana Rabbanan, Maseh B'Adam Echad Sheyatza Liyareg. So individual was going out, being taken to the executed. Amar Im Yesh Bi Avon Zeh. If I sinned, if I did this, Lo Tei Mitati Kapara L'Chol Avonotai. Not only would this death not be a kapara for this sin, but it won't be a kapara on any of my sins. V'men Bi Avon Zeh. But if I don't have this sin, Tei Mitati Kapara L'Chol Avonotai, then this will be a kapara for all my sins. Ubeitin b'chol Yisrael menukim, and the Beis Din and Bnei Yisrael, everybody's clean hands here because they have no choice. They're just doing what is required of them. Va'edim lo tehele mechila le'olam. The edim will never be forgiven. These are false witnesses, and they should never be forgiven. So when the Chachamim saw this, they said, "Well, what are we going to do? In Rulach Zero, we can't bring back the din. Shkvar nigzarek zera. They already passed in the din. They can't reverse it. Eliyahu Hareg, he says he has to be put to death. V'ei kolar talui b'tzavar edim, and there'll be a collar around the edim, meaning that the edim are responsible. They're going to be responsible for this guy's death. So I said, well, I mean, of course, that's the case here. They're putting him to death, Paul. So of course they're on the hook for this. So Yipisha kol kamine. So that Gemara says, wait, why should he be believed over here? What type of nemanut does he have here versus the edim? Of course we're going to put him to death. He can't just say the edim are false. So when it says, no, tzricha de kahadje b'husade. A witness is also reversed their position. The witness says, we are false witnesses. So now they want to take back the case. They say they can't take back the case. He's going to be put to death. So when it says, v'chi hadje b'hu mahavi. Who cares that they reverse their position? We have a principle in edut. Once witnesses give their testimony, they're not allowed to change their testimony. They're locked into their testimony. Locked into the point that they cannot reverse their testimony whatsoever. Why? Because we're afraid that Edim are going to reverse their testimony either when they see they're going to be made into Edim Zomimim, or they're going to reverse their testimony and say, well, what do we need this for? We're going to see because we're going to be put to death, and they don't want to be responsible, even though they're telling the truth. Say, we don't need this problem. We don't want to do this. So Gemara says, no, it's case here. Tricha, no. They gave a reason that they reversed their position. They said, they explained that they were, for instance, they were angry at him. They were mad at him because he did something to their family, and therefore they wanted to take revenge on him, and they came and testified falsely. So even when they give a reason like that, and they should be believed for reversing the position, we don't believe them. Once they've spoken, once they've given their testimony, we execute on their testimony, and they're responsible, and we do not back out of the Gemara Din. We don't reverse the Gemara Din. It's an amazing thing that we stand by the Gemara Din. The Edim all of a sudden decide at the last minute that they want to reverse their position. We don't let them. Right? That's it. That's after the Gemara Din. It's over. You can't reverse the position after the Gemara Din. Even if you give a reason, even explain it, it's over. The case is over. Once the case is over, you can't reverse it. Right? And that's a very Niktolar. So now the Gemara here, which is in the Girsi, it's unclear what was happening here. It says, Gai Umasa Dabai Mikhsa. That's a case of the tax collector. Right? So that was the question here, what is this case of the tax collector? So Rashi over here quotes the Gemara. It's a Gemara in the Yerushalmi in Chagiga. Gemara there is slightly different. But there was a case, and here it's a long Rashi. It's almost the entire second column here of Rashi is this story. It's a story of a tax collector and a Talmud Chacham that died at the same time, and they're both being taken out to be buried. As they were taken out to be buried, the two separate funeral processions were walking, and all of a sudden they were attacked. They were either attacked by marauders or the enemy came and they attacked them, and everybody fled. They left the coffins, they left the bodies that were there, and they took off because they didn't want to be killed. So when they took off, they had to kill one Talmud. One of the students stayed with his Rebbe because he was afraid for the Bizayon of the Rebbe, and he stayed with him. So he stayed alongside of him, and then they came back. Afterwards, they came back to complete the funeral processions after the battle was over, after the marauders left. They came back, and they mixed them up. All the Tamidim, or the people of the family of the Talmid Chacham, ended up picking up the Mochais, the tax collector, and the family of the tax collector ended up picking up the Talmid Chacham. And this Talmid that was sitting there was screaming and screaming and screaming, you got it wrong, and they didn't listen to him. And they buried the Mochais in the burial with the Kavod of the Talmid Chacham, And they buried the Talmud Chacham in the Bizayon of this Moches, of this tax collector, who was obviously not a stellar character, someone who stole from Klal Yisrael and was inappropriately took taxes. So that night, the Talmud goes to sleep and he has a dream. In his dream, the Rebbe comes to him. He says, don't worry. He says, yes, they mixed us up, but that was rightfully done so. So he says, why, what happened? He says, well, he says, I'm here up in Olam Haba in Gan Eden, and that tax collector is down in Gehenim. And he says, they're doing the enem. So what happened with the funeral? He says, one time I heard someone denigrating Talmid Chachamim, and I did not reject it, or I did not speak up strongly enough to protect the kavod of Talmid Chachamim. So this was my punishment. My punishment was that when Beshat Mito, that I was buried somewhat bizayon. I was buried like with the Moches, by the Moches' family, and in a manner that the Moches would have been buried, but nobody cared and nobody wanted to be there. That was my punishment, that I didn't worry about the bizayon of the Chachamim, so therefore I was buried in bizayon. But that was my punishment, I'm done, the rest I stay in Gan Eden. This Moches, one time they heard that the Sar Ha'ir was coming, he prepared a massive meal, and he prepared everything for him that he was coming to hear. In the end, he canceled, he was rained out, whatever happened, the Sar Ha'ir didn't come. And you know what he did with that meal? It was mechalek l'aniyim. He couldn't have nothing to do with it, because it was all going to go to waste. So he gave it away to aniyim. So because of that mitzvah that he fed the aniyim that time, he got the kavod of being buried, like the Talmid Chacham. He got the kavod of Talmid Chacham to be buried. But he's staying down in Gehenim. So he says, well, when is this tax collector? Is he ever going to come out of Gehenim? He says, yes, there is a time period he's going to come. You know when he's going to come out? When Shimon Shetach gets here. Because Shimon Ben Shetach is going to replace him in Gehenim. Shimon Shetach, who's one of the great Talmid Chachamim, is going to replace him in Gehenim. He goes, what do you mean he's going to replace him in Gehenim? Shimon Shetach? He says, yes, because he's letting the 80 witches, the 80 sorceresses, stay, and they're causing problems for Klal Yisrael, and he doesn't execute them for being mechashafot. So this Talmud wakes up in the morning, and you know where his first stop is, goes to see Shimon Ben Shetach, and say to him, listen, you're headed straight to Gehinnom if you don't take care of these witches. So that's it. Shimon Ben Shetach comes along and says, all right, he has a plan. He gets with him 80 Talmidei Chachamim together, and he has them, listen, each of you come with me, take a barrel, and put your clothes, put a talit, put in a clothing or garment inside of the barrel. Why? It was raining very hard outside. So they go, and he takes them over to the palace or the Amon where these Mechashvot were hanging out. He tells them, listen, to me, when I tell you to do something, you do it. And number two is, when I tell you to go in, and you go to the Mechashvot, pick them up off the ground. Now again, the issue here, I don't know anything about this, but sorcery supposedly only works when you're on the feet or on the ground. If your feet are off the ground, for some reason, the sorcery doesn't work. I don't have any explanation or anything for that, but that's the fact, it's a given in the story. So Shimon Shetach comes outside the palace and says, I have greater powers in sorcery than you do. And they say, well, yeah, right. Well, come on, we're the best out there. He goes, I can bring you 80 beautiful men right now that are dry, even though it's raining outside. So they say, come on, all right, let's see, go ahead. And so as he tells, he whistles over to the Talmid Chachamim, they all pull out the talit from the barrels, they put it on, and they go inside, that they have, you know, they have dry clothing, they walk right inside to the palace, they come in, and as soon as they come, they, you know, the witches are caught off guard, or these mechashafot, or the sorceresses are caught off guard, and they go, and they, each one of them picks up one of the, right, sorceresses. They carry them over to the Beis Din, and, Rabbi Shimon Shetach paskins, right, them the Misa, and he kills all of them on that day. He kills all 80 of them, hangs all 80 of them, puts them to death on that day. Right, the Gemara discusses about that in other places. How could he do that? Right, it has to be, it's a Horat Shah, because the Beis Din is not allowed to kill more than one person in a day, and a Beis Din kills more than one in 70 years. It's called a Beit Din Katlani, he killed 80 people in one day. Right, so he has to be a Horat Shah, that he had to do it to take care of the situation. So he does this. Okay, that's the end of the story. Some of the families of the witches or sorceresses were upset about what Shimon Shetach did. They put him to death. And therefore, they hatch a plan to kill his son. And they bring in Edim Meshakrim. They bring in false witnesses. And they trump up charges against Shimon Ben Shetach's son. And they bring him to court. And they bring him. And the court paskins, based on the trumped up charges, that Shimon Shetach's son has to be put to death. In the case of he's going to be put to death, he's going on his way out, and then the witnesses finally collapse and realize that he's going to die because of their false testimony. They say, we lied. And the only reason we did this is because we wanted to take revenge for what you did to our family that you did to the witches. Nevertheless, the psak halacha was done, the gemara's din done, and they end up putting Shimon Meshetach's son to death because of these false witnesses. So the Gemara brings this story as evidence to the fact that one's witness is testifying as a Gemara Din, right? In that Gemara Din, you can't reverse your position even if you give a reason for why they testified falsely. Over here, they gave a reason why they testified against his son. Nevertheless, they put his son to death. Okay, we'll stop over here.